Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. It is a beautiful week to be a baseball fan around here. The Orioles taking on the Washington Nationals for a couple games in the middle of the week. We'll be back home on Friday. Luke and I will have Maryland Lottery scratch-offs in the Pac-Man giveaway on Friday at Fadley's from 2 until 5. We'll be down there set up this weekend as the Arizona Diamondbacks come in. Hopefully the Orioles are still in first place by the end of the week. It has been quite a week. Ravens a little bit more on downtime, which gives my man Luke Jones a little time to opine. Now, we talked a lot about the starting pitch. We talked a lot about prosperity. We talked a lot about great young players and Jackson Holliday coming and Mateo holding down the fort. A lot of good news over the weekend. And, you know, these Oriole fans, you bring up one little nugget of anything that's not orange, rainbows, and sunshine. But the closer situation, it kind of goes away for a weekend when you win a couple of games, nice sweep on the road. But the Kimbrel thing, it's a little bit of a whack-a-mole. It's going to keep popping up, Luke, and we did not address it because there's so much prosperity in our previous segment. But we probably should. I mean, long-term, this is probably the biggest issue they have, and it probably, you knew it was going to be that way when Batista went down last year. It's like you don't replace that with anything other than something suboptimal, and this is suboptimal.
Well, you can't view it through the lens of a one-for-one trade-off. As much as it looked that way in a tidy way that the Orioles spent, what, $13 million on Craig Kimbrel, and, you know, you guys that high on the all-time saves list and a guy who could be in the Hall of Fame one day, all of that, you still have to recognize where he is at this point in his career, what he is at this point in his career, in contrast to what Felix Bautista was for 5 months for the Orioles last year. And as I said to you over and over throughout the offseason, even the absolute best projection as the Orioles or any team in Major League Baseball worth its salt at this point will look through data and they'll have their projections and different outcomes for each player, you know, with projection systems. The best possible projection for Craig Kimbrel was not going to be what Felix Bautista did for them for 5 months last year. So I think, first of all, I think we need to be realistic, fair, keep our heads about this. It's not as though Craig Kimbrel's been a disaster. I mean, this guy got off to a really good start. I mean, he blew his first save of the season, but we all remember that was a bloop and what, it was a sacrifice fly. You know, it wasn't like he got lit up. He actually pitched really, really well. You know, was on an absolute roll recently, talking the last two and a half weeks. Yeah, it's been disconcerting. It's been unsettling. It's been unnerving, whatever adjective you want to use to describe it. It's been that as far as angst and not feeling overly confident. But I think a lot of this is needing to understand what Craig Kimbrel has been in recent years and what he's going to be for the likely the remainder of his career. He has been a more up and down proposition over the last 4 or 5 years. You don't need to even dig that deeply into the numbers to see that. He's been a guy that at times has still been really good and at times still looks like the old Craig Kimbrel, who was amazing with Atlanta and Boston and going back years ago. And we've also seen him have some seasons where the ERA was just plain ugly and he really struggled. So I think there's that. Two, you're talking about someone in his mid-30s. You know, he's on the, you know, he's not even the back nine of his career. He's on like the back few holes of his career, realistically speaking, at this point. So I think you have to understand what you have. And I think what the last couple of weeks to me have, if that's taught us anything, it's not for me that I'm done with Craig Kimbrel or he can't close or he can't do it at all or he's an absolute terrible signing. And look, I'm not going to sit here and judge the signing one way or the other to this point. It's the first week of May. But I think what we are seeing is perhaps a cumulative impact of, you know, he's probably not the guy that you want to be calling on back-to-back nights very often. Certainly not a guy you want to be calling on to pitch three out of four nights very often. And I think maybe we're seeing that add up a little bit. And, you know, the Oakland series, it came to a head. He had some upper back tightness. They backed off of him for, what, 4 days? Saw him work out a couple times in Baltimore during that Yankee series, even though he didn't appear. I think he did warm up on in the finale if I remember correctly. So he was available that day. But hey, he came in on Friday night in a 3-0 save situation, and he struck out the side, and he looked good. He looked fine. He looked like Craig Kimbrel was looking earlier in the year for them. Comes back out Saturday night in a tight 2-0 game. It did not look good, and he's walking guys, and he's not throwing strikes. So I hate to make too much out of those two appearances, but I feel like at least for the time being, Brandon Hyde and the organization is they're getting their answer in terms of how often can you depend on Craig Kimbrel. And I don't think it's a case where he's going to be pitching back-to-back nights very often. And I think if he does, you need to be ready. To his credit, in the way that Brandon Hyde was on Saturday night, where he saw it was going sideways, and guess what? They pulled him, and it worked out. And to be clear, I saw the Philadelphia Phillies do this with Craig Kimbrel a lot, especially down the stretch last year, where he struggled at times. And if he struggled, they did not hesitate. And I think that's where you're hoping him as a veteran, realizing, you know, some of the mortality of his career, but also just being a professional. And Brandon Hyde, if you're him, having the credibility with his players to be honest, where if you say, look, if this isn't going well, Craig, I love you, and that doesn't mean I'm not going to go to you in a couple nights, but I got to put someone else in there. And if you're Craig Kimbrel, you got to recognize and say, hey, if I'm not going to throw strikes, Skip's not going to leave me out there to blow the game. So, you know, I'm not trying to be dismissive about it. I'm not trying to be too reactionary one way or the other, but yeah, I think we're seeing that, as we should have known all along, and I think everyone did know, but in the moment, that doesn't make you any less frustrated, that this isn't Felix Batista. And navigating the final month of the season last year without Felix Batista was one thing, when you're already in a position that, you know, from the moment he went down, the Orioles knew that they were still going to make the playoffs, right? Even if the division wasn't sewn up at that point, they knew they were going to be in the postseason. It's a different animal when you're talking about navigating 6+ months without Felix Batista. So it's a collective effort. Whoever they were going to bring in, whether it was Kimbrel or whether they were going to get pony up the money for Josh Hader, it wasn't going to be the same exact contribution that Felix, a healthy Felix Batista, gives you. So this was always going to need to be a collaborative effort. And I think what we've seen over the last couple of weeks only reinforces that I still think Craig Kimbrel can be a big part of what they do, but I think you have to start viewing this through a different lens in terms of he's not just going to be the guy that you're going to hand the ball to every single night, no questions asked. I think you're going to have to look at the workload a lot more, and I think you're going to have to manage that a lot more. And that's where it becomes that much more important, and that's where, as we get deeper into the summer and closer to the trade deadline, you need more high-leverage arms. You need to have 3, 4, maybe 5 guys that on any given night, you feel confident in saying, okay, I might need to play the matchups a little bit. And you talked about that in our previous segment. You know, it might be Danny Coulomb one night because 2 out of the 3 guys due up in the 9th inning are left-handed hitters. It might be Jacob Webb on a night where there's a couple right-handed hitters. I mean, Jacob Webb struck out Aaron Judge twice in that Yankee series. So it's not to say that it can't be done with, quote, lesser guys. I mean, you got to have trust in them. You're not going to throw Mike Bauman out there in a save situation, but I think we're seeing that this is going to have to be much more collaborative, and it was always going to be that way. If there's something that told me that people didn't pay attention to Craig Kimbrel the last few years, it was anyone who was assuming that you're just going to hand the ball to him for every single save situation. I never thought that was going to be the case, and I think we're seeing that play out. I think you got to be more mindful of his workload. I think you're going to have to pick your spots, and I think you need to have a backup plan in place, for lack of a better term. Now, some nights you might just be in a pickle where you're just like, okay, our bullpen's kind of shot for tonight. You know, we can't go to Cano again because he just pitched the previous 2 nights.
Well, this is the one thing where baseball taking away the 15-inning game, right? Like, this is where baseball, putting the guy on second base, getting these games over with, that your bullpen doesn't get annihilated in the way that it could after a long night. You know, not just a long night because your starter leaves the game in the 4th inning, but you wind up playing 14 or 15 innings. All that's gone. So that's a good part of being good in this era, is you're not going to have that problem, a real depleted bullpen in that way.
You're not, but at the same time, in this era, starters don't go as deep. I mean, we know that, right? I mean, that's just, it's simple reality. There is not, as everyone wakes up Monday morning after this sweep in Cincinnati, there is not, I'm almost positive, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. There is not a team in Major League Baseball right now, including the Philadelphia Phillies, who have Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, and Ranger Suarez, who was just NL Pitcher of the Month. You know, their rotation, you'll take that top three against anyone in baseball right now. There is not a rotation, there is not a team in baseball right now that is averaging 6 innings per start. You know, they are just under that mark. The Orioles, you know, for all the talk that you'll hear, not so much this, obviously this series, they pitch really, really well. But, you know, for the talk that you'll hear, and every fan base does this, I'm not picking on Orioles fans, it's just the reality of where baseball is in 2024, for better or worse. You'll hear people say, well, they need to pitch deeper into the games. The Orioles right now are seventh in the majors in starter innings. Seventh. Their guys are pitching as deep as anyone else in baseball, really, other save for Philadelphia and Seattle, and you know, if you want to throw maybe San Diego in there. I mean, that, you know, but it's really close. I mean, those other teams are only, you know, the Phillies are the only team that maybe has a little, they've opened up a tiny bit of space, but this is the game. So to your point, yes, we don't see the extra inning marathon games that tax a bullpen in the same way, but you're rarely seeing starters go 8 innings anymore. I mean, it's kind of been the seventh inning start has almost become the new complete game. I mean, that's kind of sort of where we are.
But you also don't see one-on-one matchups where you get four relievers in one inning either, right? Like, we're not getting that either, because when you come in, you have to pitch. So you're not burning up arms using six relievers in a game in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning.
Yeah, but on the regular, you're using a minimum of three. I mean, you know, you're not having very many starts where you see a starter go 8 and then the closer comes in for the ninth. I mean, you just don't see a whole lot of that anymore. And again, I'm not saying that that's good for old school fans who cringe hearing that. I'm just telling you where it is from a reality.
Most nights, four guys
for better
pitch,
or for worse.
Right.
I'm not saying
most nights, it's most a nights and three relievers. Right. Okay.
Typically. I mean, and that's if things go relatively well, right? I mean, that's just, it's where it is right now. So the point is, with bringing it back to Craig Kimbrel, you are always going to need a couple more high leverage guys. And if there's something about this team, you know, we talked about it a little bit, talking about the starters in our previous segment, but I will continue to say, yes, they absolutely are going to need another high leverage arm that you would view either as a closer or as another June 2023 Yennier Cano type guy who's just lights out, unbelievable, even if he's not a ninth inning guy for whatever his current club is right now. They're going to need that. You know, now, will Jacob Webb continue to do what he's doing? I have no idea. He may not even be on the roster in two months. You know, same with someone like Suarez. We'll see where Tyler Wells is when he comes back, because they're, you know, doesn't look like there's a rotation spot for Tyler Wells anymore. So again, that goes back to the trickle down effect of, if you have a healthy starting rotation, a couple guys can go to the bullpen and maybe help you out there. So there's some of that, and there's still all of that's ongoing, right? I mean, the roster is a living canvas. We've talked about that, but you know, you look at the pen. That's why you need. You're not going to have 8. I understand. Like, people will complain about Mike Bauman, you know, and he was shaky on Sunday and 11-0 game. You're not going to have 8 shutdown relievers in your bullpen. I mean, you're just not going to have that. But you better have, I'd say, 5 guys that you feel can do that for you at least sometimes, right? Some 5 guys that can pitch the 8th inning or in a 1-run game, or the 9th inning in a 1 or 2-run game at least sometimes. Because again, Kimbrel can't do it every night. I think we're seeing literally, even if physically he could do it from an, you know, just being effective, it's not, that's not who he is anymore. You can't have Cano pitching 4 out of 5 nights on the regular. I mean, you know, you can't do that with Danny Coulomb, you know, so you need, you know, it's almost like hockey, right? I mean, where you have your shifts, you know, you have to have some line changes available on a night to night basis, where you kind of say, all right, you know, Cano's down tonight. Or, you know, Kimbrel pitched 2 out of the last 4 nights. He can't go again. You know, we it's going to need to be Jacob Webb. You know, it's going to be need to be Danny Coulomb tonight. You know, so, you know, you have to have some of that. And I think that's every team. You know, Felix Bautista is such a unique talent. And we could even debate that how much was his workload impacting the fact that he had an injury? Or did he just break because pitchers get hurt all the time? And there's only so much you can do when a guy's throwing 102 miles per hour. The UCL is only going to hold up so long, right? So,
well, we got guys complaining they're getting hurt because of the pitch clock, literally, right?
I mean, there's so many different variables. And look, I mean, you know, that's such a can of worms right now. That's just so, I think, so difficult to pinpoint one variable. I think, first of all, I think this is a trend that's been going on for a very long time right now. I think if you look at some of the, you know, whether you're talking James Andrews or some of the other, you know, what Meister is the doctor, team doctor for the Rangers, who's done some of the Orioles elbow surgeries for either major league guys or minor league guys. You hear them talk that, you know, youth baseball, the amount of spin that guys are trying to put on the ball, all those different factors. I mean, these are, it's an epidemic, and it's, I don't want to hear that it's just the pitch clock, in the same way that I'm not going to dismiss that the pitch clock isn't a variable, but these things have been happening for years now, and it's trended in a bad direction for years. And, you know, that's why you need as many pitchers as possible. I was even talking with someone about this during the last Orioles homestand, that in a strange way, and I don't mean that it's a perfect comparison because pitching is so much more valuable overall within the sport, but I almost think teams have to look at pitchers like the NFL looks at running backs, in the way that they're really valuable for the time that they're effective, but long-term, it's not generally, it doesn't feel like it's a great investment because they're going to break down. So, you know, it's not as, you know, it's not apples to apples, because, you know, pitching is just so much more valuable to the sport overall than any one running back to his football team. But there's just so much of that goes on, because so you just need a lot of depth. I mean, anytime you think you have enough pitching, and, you know, Mike Elias kind of joked about it last homestand, and then Grayson Rodriguez winds up on the IL just as Kyle Bradish and John Means are coming back. And look, Grayson Rodriguez presumably is going to, you know, he's throwing again, you know, assuming he comes back, then great. And you know what? Probably someone else, something will happen. You know, someone will tweak a hamstring, or someone else's arm will start hurting. You know, it's just.
Well, you just hope it's not Bradish or Means, right? I mean, we're a week into this. We talked a little bit about this, but not at length. But boy, this is a whole ball club getting off the bus a month from now if these guys are making turns. And I don't know what it means for Suarez or Irvin or even Dean Kramer on weeks when they only play twice in 4 days, right? Like, I don't know who the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh starter is going to be, but we were trying to figure out who the third and fourth starters were 2 weeks ago.
Sure. But at the same time, okay, those guys might be okay. Heaven forbid Corbin Burns starts, you know, something's barking for him. I mean, it's just, I don't mean to be flippant about it, but you have to prepare for anything. I mean, Brandon Hyde said it during the Yankee series. He was asked kind of in general terms. I think he was asked about Bradish at that point in time, because, you know, Bradish obviously made the start in the finale. And he really just said, like, it's tough to make any assumptions. You know, it's why you try not to be too positive with any one pitcher in his health. And you don't want to be too pessimistic, in the same way that from the moment that Mike Elias announced that Kyle Bradish was dealing with the UCL, you had fans who wanted him to get Tommy John surgery 2 weeks before that. And now we're seeing him back. And look, that doesn't mean Kyle Bradish is going to be pitching all year and fine, and will never have elbow issues again. I mean, we just don't know. That's why you need so much depth. And anytime you think you have enough pitching, you don't. And you'll typically find out that you don't. And I think such a great example of this is, look at the Rays, who a year ago at this time last year looked like they might run away with the AL East, and then go look at the number of injuries they had to their rotation. And it really was admirable that they still ended up taking the Orioles all the way to the very end of the season for the AL East title. But a year later, they're still dealing with the fallout of some of those rotation injuries where guys still aren't back. And you're seeing the Rays, you know, this year, you know, they've kind of, reality's settled in for them. Not that they're terrible, but they're clearly not playing at the same clip. And, you know, maybe they'll catch fire at some point. I'm not going to write them off, but they've dealt with so many rotation injuries. I mean, I'll say this much. If the Orioles dealt with that many rotation injuries, we'd be having a completely different different discussion as far as their hopes for 2024. So it really is one of those situations where you're kind of holding your breath every time. You know, guy goes out there, pitches well. How's he feel the next day? I mean, that was the issue with Grayson Rodriguez. Grayson pitched well against the Yankees. You and I talked about it the next day. You know, he kind of was grinding through. It wasn't his best command, but his velo was normal. You know, he pitched effectively. You know, he gave you results that you liked. But then the next day he woke up and the shoulder was a little more, you know, guys are always sore the day after a start. I mean, that there's normal soreness, but that was a little above the normal range. So, you know, you shut them down for a couple of weeks and you hope that it's just inflammation. And sometimes it just is. Sometimes a guy just misses a couple of weeks and gets back out there and, you know, maybe alters his strength training a little bit, you know, gets a little extra treatment between starts and he's good to go. Sometimes it's not that simple. And sometimes we know it's more complicated. So as exciting as it is to get Bradish back and to have Bradish look like Bradish, how's that going to continue to work? And in John Means' case, look, John Means pitched well last September, right? I mean, he had that Saturday night start in Cleveland. What was that? I think it was the next to last weekend of the regular season. He looked like John Means. And we were all saying at that point, wow, they got a number three starter to go with Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez in the postseason. And well, we saw how that worked a couple weeks later when his elbow started bothering him again and they shut him down. So it wasn't a new injury, but it's the complications of Tommy John surgery from a long-term standpoint that, you know, some guys come back in 12 months and they're fine and you don't think twice. And sometimes it's, you know, a little more complicated. So as it stands with the pitching, I mean, you really like overall where they are right now, other than Grayson Rodriguez, because Bradish and Means are back, but you know, ask me in a week how their pitching's doing. Ask me in a month how their pitching's doing. And I mean, it's a different conversation. And I'm not saying that to be doom and gloom for the Orioles. It's the same exact case for everyone. I mean, right now the Yankees, who are right there with the Orioles, the big discussion is, where's Gerrit Cole in this? Where's Gerrit Cole? Where is he in his throwing progression? When's he going to pitch? Is he going to be back in June? Is he going to be back by the All-Star break? Don't know. In the same way, we didn't know about Bradish until finally he took the hill. And hey, one start in, it looked like Kyle Bradish. Hopefully it looks the same way this week. And hopefully he's still feeling good after the start. And I don't know, maybe if he pitches for 2 or 3 months, we'll stop thinking about that. You know, it's not a narrative, it's reality. But, you know, it very much is I think every general manager, every field manager, every pitching coach in baseball, I think there's a collective holding their breath, especially for your top guys, that guys are just going to feel right because the way that these guys throw today with full max effort and throwing it as hard as they can and spinning the ball and the torque they put on their elbow and their shoulder and, you know, the twist that they have on their wrist, trying to get balls to just break the way that they do on sliders and sweepers and curveballs and all of that, cutters. I mean, it's just, the human arm wasn't meant for that. You know, Jim Palmer might have said that 40 years ago, and it just becomes more and more extreme every year. I mean, guys are just doing absurd things with the baseball, but there's a cost. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch when it comes to what some of these guys are doing mechanically to get the spin, to get the velocity that they're getting. And unfortunately, some guys hold up, but many more break down at some point in time. And, you know, if you're the Orioles, you know, it's trending, you know, it was trending up, you know, with Bradish and Means. And then, you know, you take a step back with Grayson Rodriguez, but, you know, I think you called it whack-a-mole, right? I mean, that's kind of what it just feels like for any team now trying to navigate 162 with your pitching staff.
Well, the interesting thing for me with Elias, with Kimbrel, it's going to be, you know, an every night issue because this team's going to have leads in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. It's going to have high leverage, going to have close games, played a lot of close games last year. I like the 11 to nothing games, and they screw up the shutout late. But and Bauman, you know, even given these low leverage situations, guys come in, they give up a run, and then you don't feel as confident saying, well, we'll bring him in over the weekend. But I would think that between Elias and Hyde, and the way they've played this, and they now at least know what they have, that on nights when we know Kimbrel's not available, try to set up Cano or try to figure out what
that other option is going to be. And that's hard to do, but it's easier when you only play two nights this week. So the Nationals on Tuesday and Wednesday, Orioles get down. There'll be Burns. It'll also be Bradish. We hope to see Means on the weekend. Luke and I will be at Fadley's on Friday from 2 until 5. I have my Pac-Man scratch-offs. I have to hold them up. My Pac-Man scratch-offs are cool. We'll be giving these away on Friday from the Maryland Lottery. Our friends at Jiffy Lube Multicare, as well as Liberty Pure Solutions, keeping my water clean. Also, our friends at Royal Farms and Cole Roofing filling up my mug here so that I'm a chipper all week. It is our 25th anniversary. The video has been released. No one listens. Everyone hears. Big appreciation to the many of you who have seen parts of it, all of it. I'm releasing parts of it out on social media as well, but it is all available. It's 36 minutes long. The Orioles don't even play on Monday and Thursday this week, so you get a chance to go check that out. We also have Preakness coverage next week. We have the election going on this week as well, so tons and tons of things out there. Luke and I are going to talk some football as well before the week is over. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, celebrating 25 years of madness around here. All of it brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness and Far and Daughter. Back for more on Baltimore Positive and WNST right after this.